I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Got a really, really good lesson tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We've been talking about how to rightly divide the word. And I hope you're discovering that it's no longer just a matter of picking the Bible up and reading it. That is important, but, you know, we got to know how to go through it. And so we talked a little on that, but we're teaching on these four questions that you need to ask yourself when you read the scripture. Who's speaking? Who's doing the speaking? To whom is it spoken to, whatever you're reading? What is it that is speaking about? Maybe some questions about the time in which it was written. And then how do we understand what we're reading in light of the finished works of Jesus Christ? And all of those things will really help you to properly interpret what you're reading. I can't tell you how dangerous it has been over the years for people to go to the Bible, pick a scripture up, and just forget about the context and just use it any old kind of way, just as long as they have a thought and say that's the Holy Ghost. And man, it has destroyed lives. It has perverted ways of thinking. And that's why I felt this is the time to do it and to do it here at Bible study. And so you can help me to preach it along the way. So now we've dealt with who's speaking. We talked about that some. We dealt with to whom it is being spoken to. We dealt with what it was speaking about last week. And tonight I want to talk to you about how to understand the Word of God in light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, you've got some shades on. You put some shades on. And when you look at everything, you're going to see it through the lens of the shades, right? So it's going to be darker or whatever the color of the shades is. So you can take the Bible with the shades on, and whether you're reading the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, you're still going to see it through the lens of that shade, okay? And if you want to see it differently, you're going to have to put on some new lenses. Now, what I'm saying is we've for so long read the Bible through the lens of religion and self-righteousness. In other words, most of the time, if you read the Bible with those lenses on, then everything you see, you're going to see it through self-righteousness. You're going to see it through this is what I got to do in order for that to happen. And you're going to see it through religious understanding and beliefs because those are the lens that you have on. Now, I am saying we've got to take those lenses off. We cannot continue to look at the Word of God through these lenses of religion and self-righteousness. We've got to take them off. We've got to replace those with new lenses. And the lenses I'm asking you to put on are those lenses where you can see everything through the finished works of Jesus Christ. That every time you read a scripture, you're reading it in light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you do that? When you now put the lenses on, the lenses of the finished work, let's call it that, the lenses of the finished works of Jesus, when you put those lenses on, then you can read the Bible with an unveiled face. You can read the Bible with an unveiled face. Now, the reason why I want to start with the glasses, because now imagine if there's a veil over your face, a dark burgundy veil over your face. Then everything you see through the veil is going to be affected by the veil, right? But when you remove the veil of that religion and self-righteousness, then you're going to be able to see something you couldn't see before. And that's why I want to start off here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 18, he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. But we all with an open face. We all with an open face. We have a face that is unveiled, an open face. We can now behold the things that we couldn't see. The Amplified says, and all of us as with unveiled faces, with unveiled faces, an open face. He says, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we're constantly being transfigured into His very image in ever-increasing splendor and from degree of glory to another degree of glory. Now, let's milk this in the King James. But we all with open face beholding. So what is he saying? We are now looking at the Word without a veil over our face. We're now looking at it without shades on. So what happens now when you can see the Word through the finished works of Jesus Christ? Here's what happens. He says, first of all, you're now going to be changed into the very thing that you see. You're going to be transformed into the very thing you see. See, you're not going to be transformed looking at the Scripture in a perverted way. You're not going to be transformed looking at the Scripture through the eyes of religion. You're not going to be transformed looking at the Scripture through the eyes of self-righteousness. That's right. The Holy Spirit's not going to have anything to do with that. But when you remove the shades and the lenses and you put on the lens of the finished works of Jesus Christ, now you're going to be transformed. Now it's going to be like looking at a glass, looking at a mirror, and being changed into that image that you can see through the lenses of the finished works of Jesus Christ. And he says, you know who's going to be responsible for the change? The Holy Ghost. So by the Holy Ghost, you're going to be changed because you're no longer looking at it through that same image. Now, I know that's the issue. I went through it. You went through it. The things that we've been taught based in religion, the requirements and all those kind of things. And you have a tendency to look at everything dealing with God through those same lenses. And then you wonder why your life not changed. Because he's not going to change your life into self-righteousness. He's not going to change it based in religion. He wants to change it into that true image, that image where you can see the glory of God. Amen? So that's good news. And so now apparently there's a need for sacrifice. We immediately know and we immediately remember that Jesus is our sacrifice. Say that out loud. Jesus is my sacrifice. And the sacrifice of Jesus has already been given, right? All right, so Jesus is my sacrifice. It's already been presented. Jesus is my sacrifice. It's already been given. So now what does that mean? So when we read something that says wisdom is the secret to success, when we read that and we have the right glasses on, the lens of the finished works of Jesus, the first thing I say, wisdom is the secret to success. The first thing I say through those lenses of the finished works of Jesus, Jesus has become my wisdom. Therefore, I'm successful. No, I'm not looking at it, wisdom is success. No, I'm looking at it through the lenses of the finished works of Jesus. Jesus has become my wisdom. And as a result of Jesus becoming my wisdom, I have wisdom on the inside of me. Wisdom is formed on the inside of me. That wisdom that is in me is going to come forth out of me. That's what I'm thinking about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What Jesus has made in me is coming out of me, praise God. I'm not reading a basic principle that says wisdom is the key to success or the secret to success. That everything I look at, I'm looking at it through the lens of the finished works of Jesus Christ. I have the wisdom of God. That wisdom is in me right now. If wisdom is the secret to success, I have because of Jesus. Jesus has become my wisdom. Jesus is the reason why I'm successful because I have that right now. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. But now it also says, let's say we begin to read about the requirements that we have to fulfill in order to be blessed. All right? So if I'm reading about the requirements that have to be fulfilled in order to be blessed, I'm reading it through the lens of the finished works of Jesus. So what am I saying? Jesus has already fulfilled all the requirements. Therefore, I am blessed. See, you read about the requirements to get blessed, and then I'm not looking at, well, the requirements to get blessed is to keep this, keep that. No, I'm looking at this through the lens of the finished works of Jesus Christ, the requirements to get blessed. And I say to myself, Jesus has become my blessing. He has perfectly fulfilled all the requirements. Therefore, I am blessed. See, if you don't start doing that, then you're going back and putting the veil back on your face, the sunglasses on, and you're going to start looking at it through that. And so here's what I want you to see tonight. I'm going to practically give you some illustrations on this. You have to consider Scripture in light of the finished works of Christ as you read the Bible. As you read the Bible, you have to read it. You've got to make sure you do it in the light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just New Testament. When you read the whole Bible, if you go in the Old Testament and you read something about, you know, if you're cursed, if you're this and cursed, you're that, you read it through the light of Jesus. Well, the blood of Jesus has removed the curse from me. You have to read everything in this Bible in the light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Now, what will happen? You'll have a floodgate of revelation that will begin to illuminate your heart and reveal Christ on every page of His Word. You'll reveal Christ on every page of His Word. And it's no longer, you know, you don't care if it's the old or the new. You'll see Christ on every page of the Word. Amen? Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to use some examples of interpreting Scripture using these four or five questions I mentioned. And so what I want to do is look at the book of Matthew, I believe, chapter 19 and verse 16 through 26. We're going to actually read verse 16 through 26. And then what we're going to do is ask some questions and in light of this, and to show you how to interpret what we read and just show you the neat things that you can get out of this. Okay. All right. You ready? Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. So, I mean, you know, better than just kind of teaching this. I feel like the best way to teach it is to show you by example how we're going to interpret this whole thing. Matthew 19, 16. It is a story of the rich young ruler. We want to properly get some good interpretation on this. And you're going to be so amazed when you see all the things that can come out of it as you read the Bible. I on purpose started kind of right here in the middle. Verse 16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" We go to 17. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Verse 18. "He saith unto him, Which..." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." Verse 19. "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." 20. "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack ye yet? What is it that I lack?" Okay. And he says, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me." 22. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." 23. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." 24. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." 25. "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" And 26. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, for the most part of what we read, if we look at who's doing the speaking, then we'll see that Jesus is answering questions. Okay? We ask the question, who's doing the speaking? Jesus is answering questions. All right. The second one is, who is Jesus talking to when he's answering these questions? The rich young ruler who had great possessions. You see that? Now, this is important as we go down. So the first question you ask when you read something and try to get the context, who's doing the speaking? We see Jesus answering questions. Who is he speaking to? He is answering questions and speaking to the rich young ruler who had possessions. So this is the time for you to examine when you're talking about who's speaking to, examine, try to get all the information you can about the person who he is speaking to. Well, what else do we know about this rich young ruler? Well, the Bible says that he keeps the commandments. So the next thing I learned about him is he's a Jewish man. He is a Jewish man because he is keeping the commandments of the law. Okay? So he's a rich young ruler who has great possessions, and he is a Jewish man because he is keeping the law. All right, now, when you look at, let's say timing, when was this written? When was this situation written? Well, when the guy asked, what do I need to do to have eternal life, what was the answer? Keep the commandments, right? All right, so was this the New Testament or was it the Old? So the time that this was written when? Before the cross, and it was written under what covenant? The Old Covenant. Well, how do you know it was written under the Old Covenant? It involves you doing something first, but it's under the Old Covenant because of the answer he gave. He asked, what do I need to do to have eternal life? What am I lacking? Jesus said, keep the commandments. Because the requirements of eternal life in the Old Covenant was what? Keep the commandments. All right? Now, the next part of this is quite interesting. One, two, three. What are they talking about? How to get to heaven. They're talking about how to get to heaven. And they're talking about what can I do to be saved. So this thing is talking about what it is that we need to do to get to heaven. Now, this is so interesting here. I want us to back up where he talked about the eye of the needle. I've got more revelation on this in the last year than I have in my whole life. Now, remember, let's look at the eye of the needle. And if it, what verse is that? Huh? 24? Okay, go to 24. All right. If we looked at Matthew 19, 24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so if you're looking at this through the eye of Jesus Christ, if you're looking at this through the lens of the finished works of Jesus Christ, now watch what happens here. I'm going to ask you some questions I want you to answer me. If we took this literal, the eye of a needle, would we agree that's very small? Okay. A camel, would we agree that's very big? Okay. Would we agree literally that a big old camel going through the eye of a little needle, that's going to be interesting, right? But somebody says, Brother Dollar, you just got to work harder. You got to work hard to get through that eye of a needle. And then somebody came with the idea, well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to cut the camel up into small pieces. Let me ask you a question. If you cut the camel up into small pieces, would he be alive on the other side of the needle? So he would be dead, right? So the very last verse in 26 is going to help us to understand verse 24. And look what he said in verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. What is he referring to? I have a needle. He said, but with God, all things are possible. All right, now look at this through the lens of the finished works of Jesus. That needle represents the law. And Jesus is the only one that can keep all the requirements of the law. For man, it was impossible. Jesus is the only one to go through the needle. Man can't go through the needle. So what happened was Jesus went through the needle, then canceled that whole system and said, now everybody else got to go through me. Wow. The eye of the needle is the requirements for the law. And the only one that could keep the requirements of the law was Jesus. Glory be to God. And Jesus said, no man, can't nobody go through that eye of the needle. It's impossible for anybody to go. Now, here's what he said. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. Hallelujah. And Jesus, our champion, went through the eye of the needle, kept perfectly every commandment that was ever given. And he says, now I'm going to close it down, shut it down. I'm going to annul the law. Now everybody is required from this day forward to go through me. Wow. Do y'all see that? Everybody now is required to go through Jesus. Now, I want to make sure I didn't forget anything. So, Jesus is again showing the weakness of the old covenant. As this man was not able to keep it all, he asked, you remember the rich young ruler? He says, what is it I'm lacking? And when we try to achieve salvation by self-righteousness, there will always be something lacking. Always. No one is good enough. No one is good enough. Look at Romans 3, verse 20. He tells us that. No one is good enough. I mean, you got to understand this dude, he thought he was good enough, but he sat right there and broke the first commandment because he loved his possessions more than he loved God. And the first commandment is not, thou shalt not have no other God before you. Look at Romans 3 and verse 20. No one could keep the law. Jesus is the only one who has perfectly, without fail, kept the law. That's why they use this needle deal. But because we couldn't, you see how we interpreted everything within the context of what we read? And you see how we looked at it through the eyes of the finished works of Jesus Christ? And Jesus was talking to this guy. The subject here, the topic in Matthew 19 is how to get eternal life in the old covenant.